Warbly. What's the solution for warbly? All right. Well.
Okay.
We're just going to keep practicing with this guy, and we're experimenting with different things, and we'll get it eventually. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. And wisdom to help. Tonight we're going to talk about help from the local church. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And then they that gladly received his word are baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll talk about some wisdom to help with the church. Father, thank you for the chance to talk about the church, Lord, and talk about helping people, Lord. We pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, the church is such a powerful and important institution in your word, and especially throughout the New Testament, Father. And we pray that as we look into it, and as we study it, your Spirit would guide us, and you would help us to grow in knowledge. You'd give us wisdom how to overcome the evil one. And I pray we'd be as wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And Lord, Spirit-filled, godly laborers for you. Just right now, Lord, as I am going to try to help through your word, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, the power upon me to say them. May I be just being due to the power from on high and say which all that you want said and the way you want it said. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the devil had a great plan. We read in this passage about the local church and the first big day at church. And, of course, we see the church starting in the book of Matthew way before this. But we see the church really in practice without Jesus there on earth with the apostles, beginning with the church. And it's very powerful what begins to happen, and it's no wonder that the devil came up with a great trick, which is to minimize the church and teach that it's an institution of man that is a good option and good for some people, but not for everybody. Basically, it's been marginalized as man's system, and, well, if you want to go to church, that's fine, but I worship God without church. That was a great plan the devil came up with, and it has sidetracked more people and ruined more families and just made more mediocre Christians and everything than anything else. And the church is so vital. When I was first saved, my friend witnessed me passing much of living to church, but I didn't have the character, although I was saved, to go to church much. I played football on Sunday, and I still love football, and we didn't like getting up early. And it was summertime when I first started learning about church, and in the summertime, my schedule went to going to bed at midnight or 1 and getting up at 10 or 11. And so I would just, a lot of things got in the way of me going to church. And it's too bad because I would have even grown a lot faster. But the Bible says when you're born of God, you get the Spirit inside of you crying, "Abba, Father." So automatically you start being drawn to God. And I sort of become drawn to God. And as I did that and I began to get drawn to God, I started getting hunger for the Bible. So I'd go over to Roman's house, and he would run right across the street from my house, and we'd go over there, and I would say, "Let's have a Bible study." And I didn't start going to church much. I went here and there very rarely, but I started going to Bible study at his house, and we started learning about Scripture and memorizing things of the Bible. Not very practical things. We didn't really know anything. Remember to memorize the books of the Bible, memorize the Ten Commandments, memorized, when we got real practical, we went to Romans 10:9 and 10, But we spent a lot of time on those things. We'd study the Bible. I would take him away from his worldly TV. He was still a new Christian himself. And I remember, I don't know exactly what year it was, but I remember that I could figure it out because it was the first year of Miami Vice, and everybody wanted to watch this new show that cost $1 million an episode. And they blew up limos on it. And so I'd go, and that just happened at the time of night when he wanted to watch his new show, and I'd go by that time every week. And I didn't do it on purpose, but God planned it because he didn't need to be watching that. And so I'd go by there, and we'd go and have Bible study, and I would ask questions, and we'd study. We didn't know anything, and we would try to figure out things in the Bible and learn. And I started to get knowledge and grow a little bit, but I didn't really have my life transformed yet. I went to camp, got my assurance of my salvation at a Christian camp. Came back and got more serious about it, and I got baptized, and then I really started getting involved in church. And all of a sudden, when I started getting involved in church, all of a sudden my life really was transformed. Now I was having some growth internally for a while, but really when my life got transformed is when I went to church. Now, was I having fellowship with Christians? Yes. Was I studying the Bible? Yes. Was I learning to pray? Yes. But really my life wasn't transformed until I started going to church. And once I started going faithfully, that transformed my life. And basically tonight I want to talk about, if you really want a wisdom to help somebody or to help yourself, you got to, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on Thursday night for our midweek service. You're obviously faithful to church. But I didn't realize for many years just how important it is to get someone to church. I'd want to get them saved, I want to give them a Bible, tell them to read it, and all that's good. But if I want to see somebody change, you got to get them to church. That's God's plan. The church is so vital, and this month is so much the more in church. And in other services, we're going to talk about why the church is vital and how it's vital. You really can't be a victorious Christian and a great Christian and a productive Christian without the local church. That's not how God ordained it. Now, I've met some pretty godly people who were okay Christians, especially considering they weren't going to church. But once they got into church, how amazing they took off and how they were transformed and how God did things. I just think of an example. We had a lady in Oregon, and her kids started coming to church in the bus, and she was a pretty spiritual lady. She read her Bible too. I mean, you would have thought she was worldly. She had both kids with the same guy, but they weren't married for, I guess, 10 years, maybe 12 years, and he was never there. But she read her children the Bible every night, told them to be moral. As soon as the bus came by, invited them, said, "Yeah, you guys need to go to church, but church isn't for me." And she didn't go to church, and her, of course, husband didn't was a very worldly, wicked man, and traveled around the nation on the race circuit and as a mechanic in Indy cars, and was not a good guy. And she finally got her to church, and she, who read her Bible every day but was still not very moral, wasn't very good, all of a sudden was transformed. And quickly, although she had that desire all the time, she went to church, she got transformed, really started to grow, got a life change. It wasn't long before he came to church. For he started coming to church faithfully, it wasn't long before he got called to ministry. Of course, he got married in there somewhere, and he began to preach and do jail ministry and all kinds of ministry, and came home and spent time at home, and things happen when people go to church. And the church is very vital. Let me just give you some reasons here in the Bible why, out of Acts 2 mostly, of why it's so vital and wise to go to church or to get people to go to church. Number one, the obvious reason is because people hear the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, by the way, this is a strange church service because it was a prayer meeting at church. Their church building was an upper room, basically. And they prayed in that upper room and were praying for 50 days and asking God to do something big. And all of a sudden, the power of God came in such a way that even though they're in an upper room, it got everybody's attention, and many worldly people came to see what was going on, and 3,000 got saved and baptized. When the crowd gathered because the power of God was there, Peter preached a message there when he saw the big crowd around, and 3,000 saved and baptized is a great start. And in verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And verse 40, "With many other words they testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they gladly received his word, are baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see here, the primary way in the Bible to reach the world is to go out and witness to them. Go out of the highways and hedges and go ye therefore into all nations, as the Bible says. However, in this instance, people were saved at church. And I think any place somebody gets saved is a good place. I like at church, I like out in the highways and hedges, I like on the street corner, in the middle of the desert, in the Bible, in jail. Anywhere they get saved is a good place. Christians are supposed to be soul winners all the time and sharing the faith all the time. Everywhere is a good place to witness as long as it's not in the moral place. And by the way, I preached in a bar one time and had seven people saved there, but I wasn't sitting drinking with them. I walked in and said, "Hey, I need to preach, and I want to preach in here. Can I preach in here?" And it was an Irish bar in the south side of Chicago, and they said, "Sure." And so I preached the gospel, and they listened to it. They turned down the music, and we had preaching. And I wouldn't do that by myself. I had two other guys with me, but anywhere is good. People get saved. Praise the Lord. They got the gospel at church. And sometimes people, and here's the strange thing as you watch throughout time, people sometimes will maybe make a profession of faith, but they don't know 100% sure they're saved, and the devil's got them mixed up in the doctrine. But as they get to church, one day God just says to them, "You're not saved." That usually happens when they're getting preached at. And all of a sudden in church service, they just get good doctrine, they're getting good preaching, and then they understand the gospel clearly. When people come to church, they hear the gospel. That's a good reason to get them to church. They'll understand it. They'll hear it again and again. And if they're not saved, they'll get saved. And I find if someone is just mixed up and doesn't understand salvation, they just get them to come to church for a while, the Lord will straighten out their doctrine. Amen. Lord will help them to see the truth of the Bible and get it. Sometimes they don't get it in one conversation. Sometimes they don't understand it. And sometimes that the Lord needs to work in their heart. And different people have different hurdles. And church will do that to them. It speaks to their heart. That's where God speaks. Number two, they're able to go through the Great Commission. Why get them to come to church? Because at church, they're able to go through the Great Commission. Verse 41, they that gladly received his word, that's salvation, were baptized. Jesus, the Great Commission, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." So the first two steps right there. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus said, after they're baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So right there, they just went exactly through the process that Jesus told in the Great Commission. They were saved. They got baptized at church. They got discipled at church. That is God's way. That's God's way to do it. That's the best way to do it. We as a church, we have the discipleship program. And I think just going to church and hearing preaching is going to get you, and teach you here good teaching and good Bible lessons. That's going to get people discipled. See, that's the God's ordained tool to get to go through the Great Commission. It's not an individual doing it outside of a church. God not only commanded the Great Commission to a church, but he also goes through and shows it being fulfilled through a church. And you find people getting discipled in the Bible through the church. You always find that process, because that's God's ordained plan. And God gives it both by command and by example. They're saved, they're baptized, and they're discipled. By the way, that is still God's plan. Amen. That is still God's plan for reaching the world. We've got a lot of cute ideas, and there's come out a lot of neat ideas of how to get people and help the seekers and all this stuff like that. But you know what? God's plan is still hear the gospel, get baptized, get discipled. And that's the way you build a church, and that's the way you build lives, and that's the way you make Christians, is you teach them all things whatsoever Jesus commanded us. It's still the perfect plan. It works so good today. And churches who do this, they still see lives transform. Everybody's got all these different new ways, but you know what? It's still the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is used right here through the local church. That's the way you do it. That's the way God did it. It was fulfilled through the local church. It was not outside of it. It was not individuals doing their own thing. Although I'm not against you having a Bible study with somebody, I'm not against you going and teach somebody, I don't think that's God's plan, where you outside the auspices of the local church just run things on your own and just do things your own. That's not God's plan for reaching the world. God's plan is through a local church. They got it from going to church. You can see in this passage, they got it from going to church. You say, "Oh, Pastor Robert, you're saying I shouldn't have a Bible study with somebody?" No, nothing wrong with that. There's nothing biblical about it. It's not against the Bible. I just think if you try to do that outside of church, they won't get changed. I think you can give them some things and teach them things, but in that process, you are teaching them and maybe spending time with them in order to get them to church, because church is a Christian factory. Amen. That's God's plan. And so you're trying to get them to church. So I have a Bible study with them, answer the questions, sit down and teach them, and that happened to me. And that's fine. But if you're going to continue to do that, you'll get them. Here's what you'll do. And I've done this, by the way. I've tried this many times. You will keep on teaching them, and you will try and try and try. And you'll answer all the curiosities they have. And then you'll hit a wall where there's nowhere else they'll do and no other steps they'll take and nothing else they'll ever learn. And by then they're bored, and then they don't want to really grow anymore. And if you can't get them to church at that point, then you're never going to get them to be a spiritual Christian. You're just going to keep hitting that wall again. Because it's not inside God's plan, and God has a great commission through a local church. So you got to get them a local church, and many of you have found that out. If you can get people to come to church, all of a sudden God kind of takes over and works in many different ways. Where you were doing everything and carrying all the load and couldn't figure out how to do it, it didn't all work. The local church, God uses that. That's His plan. Not because the local church is some perfect institution, but it's God's plan. And God's plan always works. And it's always the best way. And there's a campus crusade for Christ on colleges. Fine. Nothing unbiblical about it. Nothing wrong with it. But some people substitute that and say, I go to church. I go to campus crusade. You don't go to church. You go to campus crusade. Right. And by the way, if somebody's at a secular college, campus crusade can help them. Help them to be around some other Christians, meet some other Christians, hear some teaching, get a break during the week. But they still need to find a church because they're not going to church. They're not going to church. God gives a plan for a local church, what it's supposed to be like. And that is not that. So, is it unbiblical? No. Is it bad? No. Fine. Not a problem at all. You want to listen? Do you want to watch a TV preacher? If you find a good one that preaches the gospel, good luck. But if you do that, you say, you know what? And people tell me, I go to church at home. I watch The Hour of Power. And I say, you don't go to church. You watch The Hour of Power, but you're not going to church. And you're not going to become a strong Christian. Just sitting at home. You're not going to church. God's ordained plan is the Great Commission fulfilled. That's saved, baptized, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus commanded. Discipled through the local church. That's God's plan. And that's why I usually don't get that involved with parachurch organizations, with people who want to have Bible studies outside of church, people who want to do things, their own little cute things. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. I don't criticize that. But I like everything to be under the umbrella of the local church. That's the way God did it. There's many areas like that. We could talk about finances and many other things. But God always says, I have an umbrella here. It's a local church. And it's very safe and it's a very good plan. And you ought to go underneath that local church. Outside of that, it's not unbiblical and bad and evil. It's just not the best because it's not God's way. Number three, when you get somebody to church or when you become part of a church, you become part of a body. Amen. Part of a body. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good and part of them to every man as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were together, had all things common. They were one accord. They had gladness and singleness of heart, part of a body. One of the things that's very important when you see the big picture of church is God takes many body parts and He molds those body parts together to become one body. You are an individual body part. And God, what He does, He takes a finger and He takes an ear and He takes an arm and He takes a leg and He molds those together and He makes one body out of that. And every part of the body is supposed to benefit from that. Amen. That's why you're only part of a good church, because if you're part of a bad church, you don't want to get attached to a sick, dying body. But if you become part of a good church, the whole body benefits. You know what? My toe benefits from the rest of my body being hooked to it. How else would it get its toenail clipped? My ear benefits from having a body hooked to it. How else is it going to get blood to it? And how else is it going to get scratched? And how else is it going to get, if it gets a wound, what is it going to put a band-aid on it or apply direct pressure? The body benefits, every body part benefits from being part of a healthy body. And we see this, God takes all the body parts and molds them together. If you go to some verses on this, is Ephesians chapter 4. Because when you get someone to church, And when you become part of a church, you become part of a body. And when you become part of a body, the healthiness of the body gets to flow into you. In other words, white blood cells go to every part of the body and bring healing. And body parts all benefit from being part of a body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And if you go forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, backward to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So God takes many body parts and puts them into one body, and when they become part of a body, the life will flow into them. But a body part by itself does not do good. A foot without a body does not do well. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 13, for by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, into the body as that pleased him. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered, in other words, arranged and hooked together the body together, giving more abundant honor to that which part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you see there in the Bible how that God puts people into a body? And all of a sudden, there's no schism, there's no bad disagreement, and they all suffer together, and they all go well together. If my foot is bad, then the rest of my body can compensate for it and help take care of it. God puts you into a body, a local church, so you can be part of a body and mold you together. And God puts this finger on this hand, and this hand on this wrist, and this wrist and this arm, and this arm on this shoulder. And God puts a church together for the whole thing to benefit with all. So get them into a church. So many times I've found that you can't get someone to church right away. We're in an anti-church culture, of course, here in Seattle. Not many people go to church, and we're in a day where all around America, people don't like going to church, and I just believe in worshiping God at home, and I don't believe in organized religion, and all that stuff they say. Although it's unbiblical, it sounds spiritual, so they feel good about themselves. And so, you got to work with them and teach them, and maybe you have to teach them out of what we just read, and say, this is why I need a part of a church. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going and taking them to lunch. Nothing wrong with teaching them the Bible. Nothing wrong with having Bible studies with them. That's all fine. But eventually, you got to have the wisdom to get them to church, or they will not grow and become a godly Christian. It won't be enough for them to just listen to preaching tapes and watch videos and have Bible studies with you. They've got to get to church. But all that might be a step in getting them to church. And I want you to have the wisdom to understand the need for them eventually to get to church. Number four, so they become part of a body. But number four, they see the Lord working in others' lives. They see the Lord working in others' lives. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. They see the Lord working in others' lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So you see there that great fear came upon them together. See, when you're a part of a church, when God's blessing, you collectively get blessed. You know what's strange? When the Lord's power is upon a church, it just flows through every one of us, and all of a sudden, God will be working in each one of our lives. Two or three people might have prayed for the power of God, but because everybody's in the church, they're getting blessed by that. And the person who's not going to a church, they are all on their own. But God just chose to bless. Hey, you know, everybody who was around, all the 120 people in the other upper room, weren't they glad? They were going to church and got part of that power. They are all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. So you become part of a collective group, and God says, I'm going to bless all of you. Great fear came upon them all, and they feared God. And they get to see God work in other lives. In other words, they all began to pray, and they saw Peter get out of prison. And all those who were part of praying, and all those who saw God working, got to see the miracle in Peter's life and be a part of that miracle. In Acts chapter 4, they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them all. And you know what the great thing is? If you're part of a great church, you get the benefit of being part of a body. All of a sudden, if a body gets super energy into it or super strengths into it, listen, every part of the body gets stronger and gets benefited by that. And you begin to see God working in lives, and it helps you tremendously. One of the best things that ever helped me as a young Christian is watching other Christians in church. Watching how to raise your kids and not raise your kids. Watching what happens when you backslide. Boy, that taught me a lot as a young Christian. If I was sitting home myself, I would never have seen what it looks like when a Christian backslides and how miserable they are. When you become part of a church, you begin to see God work in other people's lives. You see someone get saved and get right with God. Listen, they all saw Ananias and Sapphira lie to God and die in church. And it says great fear fell upon them all. If they weren't at church, they wouldn't have the fear of God. See that? You see God working, and you get the benefit of seeing how God works, and they will be able to see God work in their lives. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and gives a testimony and says, you know what? I had this problem with drugs, and I had a terrible problem, and I couldn't give it up, and then all of a sudden I did this and this and this, and boy, I learned this, and then my life got transformed. Well, if they're at home by themselves, they have a problem with drugs, guess what? They don't get to see God work in a life and realize that God can deliver. I used to suffer from severe depression. All of a sudden, somebody in church says, you know what? And they give a testimony, and they say, you know what? God works in lives. He can deal with that too. See, there's a bunch of benefits of seeing God work in other lives and seeing what God can do. And that they get to be a part of that. And everyone finds a fear. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul. They get to see the Lord working, and it spreads throughout all of them. Next, why the wisdom to get in the local church? They get to give and receive. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. They all got to give, and some people got to receive, some got to give, and then somebody else got to give and receive, but they had nothing that was their own. Everything was the church's. And everybody, as they had need, they would give, and the church, it was laid there at the church, and whoever had need would take what they needed, and it was distributed by the apostles, and this person would take, and this person would receive. The people who don't go to church never get the joy of giving. I understand most people would say, oh, they never get to receive anything from the church, but Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. They never get to know the joy of giving to a missionary. They don't get to be a part of giving and providing for somebody else. God may have blessed them with some extra money, and they're supposed to feed somebody or give to somebody or go help somebody in some way. They could have paid for somebody's car or get them gas money, but they are not there to give. And they may have sit there at home, be going without, because they were never there to receive. They can never give to a missionary. They can never give to the cause of Christ. They can never participate in the bus ministry and help in that. They can never have a part in a treasure hunt and see children saved. They can never invite children to church to get saved or adults to church to get saved. Why? Because they're not going to church, and they don't get to participate and give and receive and be part of God providing for people, which is God's way of doing things. I knew a guy who used to go to church, and he decided he discovered some great new truth of the Bible, and he doesn't need to go to church anymore. And boy, he talked spiritual, and boy, he had all these cute little arguments, and he used to be a really spiritual guy. And boy, in fact, I just talked to his son recently, and his son said he is such a mess. He is such a mess. But he used to be a godly man and raised godly children. Then he got away from church, didn't need church anymore, and it went straight downhill from there. I heard him telling me all this, you don't need church because of this, you don't need church because of that, and all these arguments. And I just said, how's your missions, you're reaching the world going? How's your missions work going? He said, well, I'm just trying to save my own family. I said, well, that's a good excuse, but you're commanded to reach the world. I said, you aren't doing a thing, now that you're not part of a church. I said, who is the one who watches for your soul that's got to give an account, who speaks to you the word of God, who you're supposed to submit yourself to? I don't need any man. Okay, well, so we'll just take your scissors and cut Hebrews 13 out, and you'll be fine. See, you miss out, and you don't get to be part of giving and receiving. Next, they receive good fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat meat with gladness. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. A lot of things in this verse. First of all, notice they eat meat. Amen? Not a vegetarian church. That's not biblical. They ate meat. Canine teeth. Praise the Lord. But they ate, and they had good fellowship. They continued daily. They got together with one accord, of one heart, of one mind. Fellowshipping is so sweet. Getting out of the Christians and talking about the things of God and talking about things you learn in your Bible and praying for each other and carrying one another's burdens. And they got the fellowship together, and that's one of the vital things. When they get fellowship, there is something about being around people who are like-minded. And it makes you feel good. It makes you feel at home. It encourages you to do more. It makes you kind of crazy. When you get a bunch of people to a football game who all have the same team, they act nuts because they're so excited about their team. But all during the week when they're by themselves, they don't act like that. It's harder to stand out. When everybody else is like you, it's easier. And it encourages you. And they get good fellowship. They eat together. And good fellowship is eating together. That's biblical. And there's a lot of things in the Bible about that. But they get to spend time together and fellowship. Next. And lastly, they get the Lord's collective blessings. I want to go back to that a little bit and look at that from a little different angle. Verse 41. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to church daily such as should be saved. Now let's go to Acts 4. I never covered this. We'll just go through it briefly. But verse 32. And the multitude then that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distributions made every man according as he had need. Do you see that there, how they just all benefited together? And you see that. And if you see, look again, we quoted this in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. All these things flow together. Because it's interesting, the Bible says that he that hath an ear, seven times in the book of Revelation, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So an individual is supposed to listen to the message God has for the church. Because God says, I send a message to a church. That's what God does. Now, there's also message to individuals, just like the books of the Bible. There's one of the book of to the church at Corinth, and the church of Philippi, and the church of Laodicea, and the church of Ephesus. There's individual messages to churches, but there's also message to Timothy. And God speaks to individuals. Well, if all you're getting is what God speaks to you individually, you're missing half of God's messages. Sure. And just being a church where the message that God had chosen for tonight and for Sunday morning, Sunday night, if somebody is not there, God has a message for them. And you will find that you'll go back and teach them something that you just heard on Sunday. How many people ask me a question about what and they'll call me during the week, they weren't at church on Sunday, and they'll say, man, I'm really struggling really bad at this thing, and I just preach on a Sunday. And I say, oh, God had this message for them, but they weren't there. Oh, that's so common. Why? Because there's a collective blessing that God speaks to a church, and God does a work through a church. And if they're not part of a church, they don't hear what the Spirit says unto the churches individually. The churches, he says there. That is the way God does it. Imagine the people who weren't there when the book of Philippi was read at the church. Well, I don't need to go to God. I don't need to go to church to worship God. Well, the scripture just got read, a message to the church of Philippi. When the church of Ephesus read the book of Revelation, it commanded them, constantly read in the church. The Bible commands churches to read the book of Revelation in the church. Well, you're not at church? You missed what God had for that church that week. Somebody says, well, I don't need to go to church. And they're in Ephesus, and they didn't go to church when the book of Revelation is read. Guess what? There wasn't a copy of the Bible for every church. And they miss the message God had for the church. And they are missing when God had a plan for them to hear a certain message, what God had planned for them. And they will be changed and get the message they need. And God will speak to them. Imagine being the individual in a city where God sent the Word of God, a book of the Bible there, to be read in the church. And they said, I don't need to go to church. Eventually, plan on, if you really want to work with somebody, to get them to church. And get them to a great church. Or it just won't work. That's the message tonight. I want you to have the wisdom that they need to get into a great church. By the way, remember how Jesus said in Revelation, I will remove your candlestick out of its place except to repent? Just because it says church is not a place you need to get them to go. It needs to be a place where God's working. You can send them to a place where God isn't working and nothing's going to change. But if you get them into a church where God is working, you watch. Because God will all of a sudden, instead of trying to, when you're working with them individually, trying to sort out every little problem and work, and people who don't go to church have a bunch of individual things, and they're so globbed up together and tangled up that you can't even figure how to undo it. You just can't. There's too much of a mess. And you, with all your wisdom, try to give them the Bible answers and stuff, and it seems like they don't make a lot of progress. Strange thing is, get them to church, and all of a sudden, it just starts coming unraveling. And God starts working it out, and this message speaks to them, and this fellowship speaks to them, and someone in church meets them who can help them in some area. And God just says, I've got a plan of you being part of this body. Collectively, I'm going to bless you. So much the more in church, as you see the day approaching. Get them to church. It might take a while. I might need to work with them. But if they are not going to ever come to church, then you're wasting your time and trying to work with them. Eventually, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, maybe take a little while, maybe you're running by them once every a month or so for 6 months, and you keep knocking that door and just see if they're open, just see if they're ready to go to church yet, see if God's speaking to the heart, and give them some things and give them a book to read or whatever. But you know what? Eventually, if they're not going to come to church, just need to tell them, you know what? I think we've gone as far as we can go. Now you need to come to church. I can't help you anymore. You'd be surprised what'll happen to you if you go to church. And you give them the reasons right here. And you say, because God will work through a church. And I know just the church for you. You need to come. But if you can't get them to church, you're going to spend a lot of effort. And it's really not going to fix them because they're still a finger sitting by themselves. And they don't do good. Let's go ahead and pray. And thank God for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for your Word. I pray that you'd help us to have the wisdom to get people into church, Lord, as we emphasize the importance of a local church and why you ordained it and how it works, Lord. We thank you for it. I pray that all of us have the wisdom to get people to church and have the wisdom to stay in church ourselves, Lord, not miss out. Thank you for a church you work in, Lord. And I don't come tonight saying we are the perfect church and we're so amazing, Lord. We are amazed that you work at Open Door, Father. We thank you and give you the glory for how you do work. Thank you for taking time in our lives and meeting with us, Lord. And Father, we're not worthy of it. We give you the glory and praise. And we pray you continue to work at Open Door. Help us to get more people to come so that you can change your life.